a great start to the show. I'm going to spend the next hour slagging off Rangers, and that's how I start things. Listen, welcome to the Jersnet Podcast. This is episode 454. I'm your host tonight. I was going to say I'm Colin Armstrong, just so nobody actually knew who I was after that start, but I am actually indeed Jordan McCallum. Jersnet, of course, is the independent Rangers podcast made by fans for fans. Where the content is completely free. It's not just a podcast. We have a Jersnet, we have a forum, we have articles, we have social media, and we have, of course, a history archive. And if you enjoy the podcast tonight, we would encourage you to subscribe on wherever you get your podcasts. We aim to have two a week and all through the season, and sometimes we even have wee special ones as well. After what has been a frustrating day at Easter Road, we'll look back at the key moments, such as our starting lineup, a failure to create chances, far less take them. And we'll maybe have a quick chat about what might happen over the next 24 hours or so in the last day of the transfer window, and a quick look ahead to Wednesday's match against Kilmarnock. Now, before I do any of that, I just need to mention our good friends at Forest Precision Engineering, who are subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company, and they're a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many, many years, and we are absolutely delighted they're backing the podcast again. You can find out more about them at www.forestprecisioneng.com. You can also visit the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, which is a stunning new hospitality suite in the new hospitality area in the main stand, and for information on how to book that, and to find out more information, you contact the club directly at hospitality@rangers.co.uk. That's Forest Precision Engineering. There's just two of us tonight, Brian. It's just yourself and I. There's usually three on the Sunday night show, but it's just yourself and I. I appreciate you giving up your normal presenting duties to come along and try and help me look good. And as you can see, you'll have your work cut out doing that. How are you, sir?
Yeah, not too bad. Obviously disappointed after this afternoon, but other than that, not too bad.
Yeah, good. Pleased to hear it. Let's just dive right in to the Hibs game, and let's start with the selection, the starting 11 and who was on the bench. There was a few people that you might have looked at and thought, that's surprising. No Diomande, no Moore, no Tav. Tav, perhaps less of a surprise. He hasn't always started games recently, and he didn't have his best game on Thursday night either, so perhaps not a huge surprise. I was actually quite pleased to see Sterling back. How Sterling performed and how fit Sterling is, I'm not sure, but it was quite nice to see him back, certainly, and playing again. Obviously a start for two of our new signings as well. The third one clearly isn't quite ready to be get going yet, but two of them started. What did you make of the starting 11 when you saw it? Were you pleased with it? Was it surprising for you?
No, I was pretty pleased, to be honest. I kind of thought that was almost as strong as they could have went in terms of what was available. He seems to be rotating Tav now in terms of trying not to play him two games in a week, which I think we've all said for a while that that's probably needed in terms of where Tav's at and his age and, you know, what's left in his legs. I think we've all said that we need to kind of wean ourselves off James Tavernier at some point, so that seems to be happening now, and I think we all recognise that Sterling's a very good player, but the issue with Sterling has always been fitness. So I wasn't surprised to see Tav drop out and Sterling come in. I was kind of like yourself, looking forward to seeing him. I think last time he started would have been the game at Parkhead, I think. Obviously had a really good game that day. So yeah, no surprise there. He seems to be rotating Diomande and Chukwuane, so I was looking forward to seeing him and Olsen again. I thought, you know,
delighted that you have told me how to pronounce his name, because I know I will mangle it at least 30 times tonight.
And actually, I thought he did really well, to be fair. Certainly, I think he looks...
Were you surprised he started ahead of Diomande?
Not really, no, because I think he seems to be rotating the two of them, so they seem to be kind of doing a bit of a job share where one will play one game and the other will play start the next game, so I wasn't necessarily surprised. And I think I always thought, when I seen Chukwuane last week, I thought his physique and his kind of power in midfield is kind of what we could do with going away from home in the SPFL. So I actually thought it was a good game to bring him into, and one that his attributes might suit.
Obviously, I think, fact he didn't play on Thursday should have meant he was fresh.
Yeah.
He's a week now training with Rangers and getting to know the rest of the guys. I tell you one thing I noticed, Brian. We're a tall team all of a sudden. Having not been for a wee while, for a few years, and certainly earlier this season, we definitely weren't. I was looking at this today thinking, you know, Cermetti, Asgard, Skiv Olsen, he's tall. I'm going to try it. Chukwani's tall. You know, three of our back four are 6 foot plus now, and certainly we are today. We've suddenly become a tall team. I don't know how Raw managed that, because we were not a tall team at the start of the season, and we certainly haven't been for a wee while. It is quite interesting that he's clearly looking to bring that into the squad.
Yeah, it's clear that Danny Rowe's trying to kind of change the profile of the team. I think he likes kind of tall, powerful players by the looks of it. That seems to be what his kind of style of football, what he likes. Now, my worry is, have we traded that for creativity? Because at the minute, yes, we look tall, we look powerful, we don't look very creative, and I'm sure we'll talk about it this evening. But yeah. And so at the minute, I'm sort of worrying, are we sacrificing creativity for power and strength?
I mean, looking at the game then, let's look at that point you're making. We started well enough. First 10-15 minutes, I thought we were the stronger team. Hibs aren't in great form. It's actually their manager's under a bit of pressure. They've just sold their, you know, arguably their most dangerous player midweek. You know, they've had some poor results recently. They're in danger of falling out the top six completely if they're not very careful. It's really only, I think, the fact that the rest of the SPFL aren't quite clicking that's even allowing them to still be in contention for it. So it was probably a good time to get Hibs, which I think makes the way the game went all the more frustrating, because as I said, after the first kind of 10-15 minutes, we started to fall out of it and Hibs started to come into it, and they absolutely finished the game, the first half rather, they finished the first half by far the strongest team. We seem to no longer be able to retain the ball. Our decision making, particularly our final ball, it's just poor. And it's not just one player. You know, it seems to be every player's final ball is poor just now. We looked like we were losing the midfield battle after the first 10-15 minutes. We looked like we've been overrun in midfield. I'm not Asgard's biggest fan, I'll be honest. Anyone who's had to listen to me on Asgard will know that he is a player I do not like particularly. He frustrates me, because I think there's a player there. I think he has all the attributes to be a great player, and he hides them completely. And that frustrates me. And I thought that he was completely missing in the first half. He wasn't the only one, but you know, if his job is to help midfield and break forward as well, I didn't think he was doing any of that. But I did think we were losing the midfield battle, which surprised me, because I, like you, I thought that Chukwuane had a decent start. I thought actually he looked okay, quite liked the look of him. A couple of times he won the ball back, seems quite comfortable on it, as you would expect. But I thought midfield was where we were getting found out. What was your take on that first half? Why do you think we started well and then faded so quickly?
The most disappointing thing for me is that, you know, we did have a decent start, but we still didn't trouble our goalkeeper. Like, we don't start games coming out of the blocks flying. Like, we don't go a goal up within the first 10 minutes. We're not that type of team, it seems to be. We seem to like to sort of feel our way into games, and we'll have some nice...
Sorry, Brian, that's an interesting point you make there. Do you think that's coached? Do you think that's part of the tactics? It seems a strange tactic, but I mean, because obviously we scored quite early against Porto, so there's that, you know, is it... Because there are teams, I agree, there are teams that come at you 100 miles an hour the first 10-15 minutes. Celtic used to do it under Postecoglou. They were trying to win the match in the first 20 minutes, trying to overrun you. You're right, we don't play that way. So is that Is that a tactical thing, you think?
I mean, it's, you've kind of got to say that it has to be. I'm pretty sure he's not telling the players to go out there and start slowly. I don't think that's, I'd like to think that's not the message he's sending out. But there's also a bit of me that thinks, you know, one of the reasons why Celtic did that under Postecoglou is try and win the game within the first 15 minutes is because when it gets to the last 15 minutes, they're blown out their backside because they've put so much into the first 75.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't think that's what Danny Rowe wants. I think he wants us to finish strong. And I think he, maybe the hope is that if we, you know, get a feel for the game first, feel our way in, then we finish the game stronger. And because, you know, a lot of the teams in the SPFL, yes, they're full-time and, you know, they're of a good standard, but at the same time, in terms of the coaching at Rangers and the facilities that we've got and the fitness of our players should be of a much higher level than you'd expect us to be lasting longer in terms of fitness and maybe the opposition to be tiring. And maybe that's the thinking behind, you know, not coming out of the blocks 100 miles of an hour. But for me, like you said, you know, Hibs were coming into this game, they had to be low in confidence. They've just lost their talisman, effectively. You know, they get battered last weekend by Falkirk. They get put out of the cup by Dunfermline, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, not in a great run of form. So, if there was ever a game to come out and go at them straight away and really test that confidence, you'd think this would have been it. Because for me, if we go 1-0 up there in the first 10 minutes, you know, there's a good chance they crumble.
Yeah, the crowd turn on them there, as well.
You know, 2-3-0. So I think that should have been the message. And for whatever reason, if it was, it didn't translate onto the pitch. And to me, it seems like it wasn't the message. I feel like Danny Rowe's maybe the type of coach that likes his teams to feel their way into games rather than go for it from the off. Maybe that's because he doesn't want to get caught on the counter-attack. He does seem fairly conservative in terms of style of play and, you know, what his teams are doing. He has definitely tightened us up at the back.
Hibs were defensive. They were more defensive than they were the last couple of times we played them. You know, last couple of times we've played them, I thought Hibs would come out and had a go at us, but as today I thought they were very defensive, looked at us in the break. Even though they had that spell, 10-15 minutes towards the end of the first half where they had corners and things, that was more down to the way we were playing than they were playing, I thought. You know, I thought they came out and, you know, they came out not to lose. I think they were quite happy with nothing each.
Yeah. Usually when we play a defensive team, though, we'll have a period of maybe 15, 20 minutes where we've got them penned in.
Yeah.
We're in their half, they're camped in their box, and we're trying to, you know, thread the ball through and work opportunities. I never got that sense today. And there was at no point in that game did I think a goal's coming here.
You know, no, I didn't either.
The closest we got was Mikey Moore's goal that was disallowed. I think officially we got one shot on target, I think. I don't even remember that shot on target. And to me,
it was late in the game as well.
Yeah.
Were you surprised at half time there was no changes at half time? Because I thought he's going to make changes. He has to make changes because this isn't. We were under the cosh a little bit towards the end of the first half. And B, we just didn't know that we were going to score. We were not. Our final ball, oh my God. And I gave Asgard a hard time 5 minutes ago. So I won't mention him again because he is not the only one. Gassama. If Gassama's decision-making when he has the ball in the final third, if his decision-making on a cross or a pass or a cutback was better, he would be unstoppable. He wouldn't be playing for us. He'd be at some other level, far, far ahead of us, because he has everything else in his game. But that final ball is so poor. And he's not the only one. You know, you could say that. You could have said that about, you know, five or six of them today. The decision-making, the creation, the attempt to create was just not there.
Yeah, I thought Nico Raskin was particularly bad for decision making. And the times he did get into the final third, there was a few times when he was in the box and he had, you know, when we try and cross balls into the box, we don't seem to like aim for a specific player. We just seem to hit and hope when we're crossing balls into the box. There's no
and that's
ingenuity
a good point.
About it.
Yeah, that's a good point, because the other thing about that is it was maybe twice in the game. I think it was Skiv Olsen. Twice he could have crossed and he didn't. And then you look, you realise there's nobody in the box. There's nobody in the box to cross to. You know, so either the cross has to be perfect to somebody who's arriving, or else he's got to stop. You know, whoever it is, they've got to stop, come back, because we're not a team who suddenly flood that box. You know, our midfield and the rest of the forward do not suddenly, you know, you don't look up and suddenly you find, oh great, there's one at the front post, one at the back post, and the one's appearing at the penalty spot. That's not how we play, unfortunately.
No, and it's kind of a surprise for me, because when I don't want to be too critical of Danny Rowe, because he's still fairly new, and you know, it's not his squad and blah blah blah.
And let's be honest, he's done wonders. None of us expected to be in a title race when he took over.
Yeah, and if you'd asked when he came in, you know, we'd be in this position, we'd probably all have taken it. Because let's be honest,
I agree.
You know, we were miles off, absolutely miles off. And he's working with a squad that I think we all accept is not quality required.
Yeah.
But I still have, when he came in, because of his background, I think he came through the Red Bull School, and he was at Bayern with Hansi Flick. I think he was German assistant as well. I kind of thought we would see a similar type of style, a bit more emphasis on attacking play. Now, maybe it's just that he doesn't think he's got the tools for that. Maybe he's adapting his style to what he's got available to him. And then when we've got more of his players, he'll, you know, that'll change. I hope so. I don't know. But at the minute, I do worry that we're not attacking enough. We're not getting enough players in the box. We're certainly not creating anywhere near enough opportunities. You know, we can say all day long that we need a goal scoring striker, but you can have the best number nine in the world up there, but you're not getting chances for him.
We could have Mbappe in that team. You know, he's right at the bottom, and we're not doing that just now. And then maybe it's cause and effect. Maybe, you know, if you have a striker that makes the right runs or you know, positionally is stronger, then maybe they will get the ball to him. I don't know. No changes at half time. Second half followed a kind of similar pattern to the first. It was pretty frustrating to watch. It was a grim watch at times today. When the changes were made, were they the right changes and at the right time?
I thought he was a bit late with his first substitutions. I thought, to be honest, I thought when he didn't make changes at half time, I thought he was sending them out and saying, right, I'm giving this 5 minutes. If you aren't, you know, if we don't see a similar reaction to what we did last weekend when we came out after being 0-0 at half time last weekend, we came out and we got the penalty within the first 5 minutes. I think, you know, Dakin, I thought he would send them out again and be like, right, if we don't see that again, you know, I'm making changes. So I thought he could have done it earlier initially. And then the one question mark I had over all the changes he made was why he brought on Aarons instead of Tavernier. Like, when you need a goal, and I know we can all say, you know, plenty of people will tell you that Tavernier's passed it, etc., but you still probably get one of the best deliveries at the club in terms of, you know,
either set pieces. I mean, it was 5 minutes to go. Four minutes to go, in fact, when he
I would have brought Tavernier on long before then.
Yeah.
I thought Tav should have came on more as an offensive substitution than a defensive one. I thought he could have offered more in the final third in terms of his deliveries. We know that he could still put a quality ball in
we needed to defend. You know, that's the thing. It wasn't one of these games where we're just, you know, we've got all the possession. We were having to defend in that game, which isn't Tav's strong suit. It's an interesting point. You know, should we have been more adventurous, you know, and more attacking and risked, gambled that we're a bit more open at the back, but maybe it gives us something going forward. I don't know, it's an interesting one. I mean, it was 56 minutes when Moore came on, so, you know, more or less 10 minutes into the second half, and he came on for Gassama, which actually surprised me a little bit. Thought he came on for Scott Wilson, but he didn't. He came on for Gassama, who, you know, as I said, I just didn't think it wasn't going for him. You know, he works hard, I think he works hard defensively as well. But interestingly, when Moore came on, Magoma barely left his own half. So I don't know again if that was a tactical thing or if that was to do with how we set up after that. You know, but it was 69 minutes before Diamandi and Barzami came on. You know, yeah. 20 minutes to go, long enough to affect, but longer than I thought we should have, because, you know, I will talk about the new signings, but, you know, Skip Olsen wasn't, you know, it didn't look like it was happening for him. He's still trying to feel his way into the team. You know, I was surprised. I was surprised at substitutions, surprised how long they took. I thought we'd see at least two substitutions at halftime. And possibly some more as went on. You know, Bayern Mayofsky on with 86, maybe 4 minutes to go. Again, I'm thinking, what's the point? You know, Asgard, you know, who would even have noticed if Asgard wasn't on? You know, I would have made that change with 20 minutes to go. And Mayofsky is nobody's idea of a great guy to bring on just now. You know, his form is not good. Hasn't looked the player we thought he was. But I think, you know, with the changes needed, I was a little surprised that we waited as long as we did to make the changes.
I thought the Bouzrami one was a strange one, to be honest. I just, you know, he's a player that we would probably, if somebody comes in with a bid over the next 20, in the next 24 hours, I think we'd probably happily let him go. To be honest, I don't see what he contributes.
In very Barzami way, he looked okay for 2-3 games until he got injured, you know, which is what he's done his entire career with Rangers, is he's looked okay for 2 or 3 games, and then he's either gone missing for 2 or 3, or he's got injured, and, you know, it's, so I thought, I didn't have a big issue with him coming on, to be honest with you, and see, there's too much choice, you know, it's not like
something
like the bench thing, why not bring in on him instead? Yeah. You know, some change needed done. You know, but he didn't do a great deal when he came on. A change needed done.
Is there an argument that Finlay Curtis could have helped us out here?
Yeah, I mean, look, Curtis is an interesting one. Is Curtis good enough to start for Rangers? Don't know. You know, we watched him on Thursday night. Beautiful cross for the goal. Beautiful cross. Probably. You know, something that was crying out for today was a cross like that. Beautiful cross for the goal. Worked hard. Didn't really, you know, against a good team. You know, let's be honest, Porto are a good team. Against a good team, didn't really get too much more, you know, creative-wise. And, you know, didn't show a great deal, but then he was hardly the only one. I don't know. I mean, I know we're going to, we'll come to this. We'll come to the transfer window. The fact he's gone suggests to me that someone's coming in, you know, because he has an option off the bench. The fact he's gone suggests to me we are bringing in some, the, you know, that deal's been done and someone else is coming in. So we'll have to see. Just before we get to that, I want to ask you, I want to just talk about maybe the one positive of the match, which was our defence, which looked pretty good. You know, another clean sheet. Slightly different defence than what we've seen. Suter coming back in, and I think he's, you know, when Suter's fit, clearly role like Suter. But I just really wanted to have a quick chat about Fernandez, who almost a figure of fun, frankly, when he joined. I think everybody was deeply underwhelmed. The reports we got from Peterborough was that their fans couldn't believe that someone had spent that amount of money on Fernandez, who, as far as they were concerned, they would have quite happily seen off the premises. And the first 2 or 3 times we saw Fernandez, you know, he looked like an absolute bomb scare. You know, he just looked so far out of his depth. And I wasn't the only one, but I certainly, you know, was critical of him, critical of his signing, and critical of his ability on what I saw. So I think it's only fair that I now retract that and you do a massive big U-turn on the podcast. Because, let's be honest, he has come on leaps and bounds. So again, I think you have to give credit to the manager for that and his coaching team. You also have to give some credit to the big man himself. You know, is he our first choice centre-half just now when everybody's fit? Is he retaining his place? Because he brings, you know, he can play football. You know, he actually can play football, but defensively he's solid. He wins everything in the air. You know, I think there's a blunder in there still, but you know, compared to the player we thought he was the first few times we've seen him, it's night and day.
Yeah, I think he's well worth his place. Anyway, I would say that he's probably one of first names on the team sheet at the minute. I think that the good thing with him is because of his size and athletic ability, you get so many advantages to playing him, not just as a defender, but you know, in the opposition box as
well.
Yeah,
he's definitely a threat. You know, set pieces, eh?
You know, if we can keep him for a few seasons, he should be good for at least 5 goals a season from set pieces. And the thing I like about him is as well, when you listen to him in interviews, he says that himself. He's like, yeah, I'm 6 foot, whatever, you know, I should be scoring these headers. Like, he's got quite a good bit of confidence about him, which I like, to be honest. And he seems to be a bit of a, got a bit of leadership qualities about him. You see, he's kind of the talkative one in the back four now.
Yeah,
he's,
you think
one
that?
That's kind of, yeah, he's the one that's kind of directing other players. And he's, so I think, yeah, I think he's got not just his footballing ability, I think he's also got some pretty good leadership skills as well, to be honest. He reminds me a bit of Conor Goldson, to be honest. Just, okay. You know, a few, probably a good bit younger, to be honest. But so definitely impressed with him. I think the one thing with him is we might struggle to hold on to him for any length of time, to be honest, because if he keeps performing the way it is, there is going to be other clubs interested, because that's what you get.
Well, there was rumours, you know, on the week there of a couple of German sides, I think, looking at him, was, yeah, it? A couple of German teams that were looking at him.
Yeah, that wouldn't.
Yeah. Listen,
and I think with,
I think that, you know, if you buy in and bring in a player like him for the kind of money we brought in, if someone comes along and offers you double that after 6 months or after 12 months, I think you say yes, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the whole point of that, of the way they're trying to, well, I think that's how we're trying to set the club up just now, although I'm not entirely sure. It does seem to change, but certainly at the beginning of the season, that certainly seemed to be the thinking of trying to bring in players like him and improve them and see what you can do with them. It's not just, I mean, you're right, he is athletic, you know, he's big and strong, which, as we said at the start, Rowe seems to want in the team, and I don't have a big problem with that. But it's more than that. I thought his reading of the game was good today.
Yeah.
You know, Hibs have got, you know, Hibs have got some strengths. You know, the boy, Boyle, who's a pain in the neck. He's like a wasp.
He's caused us problems in the past, yeah, and I thought Fernandez dealt with him.
Anytime really I thought he was up against Fernandez, I thought Fernandez did well. I thought he gave Magoma a hard time at times, but I didn't think Fernandez had too many problems with him. You know, they had 4 or 5 corners in a row in the first half. You know, I never at any point felt they were going to cause us problems for them, strangely enough. They had a couple of chances, they had a couple of headers which they should have done better with, and there was one where Boyle was clean through, which again they should have done better with. And actually, there was a moment where Fernandez kind of misjudged one of the high balls through. But overall, he probably is our first choice centre-half just now. And you have to say, fair play to him and fair play to the manager for bringing out that in him, because defensively we look strong. You know, for all our attacking play, you know, it leaves a lot to be desired. Defensively we look strong just now. I mean, we're such a car crash at the start of the season.
Yeah. I think that's the one big improvement you can say that Danny Rowe's made, is he's tightened us up defensively. I think I would, at the minute, I would back us to go up against anyone domestically and keep a clean sheet. But my big worry is we're just so poor at the other end of the pitch.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, I think that's what's going to cost us this season, is that. But yeah, I think defensively I don't really have any concerns at the minute.
Yeah. We touched upon them briefly, but let's just take a couple of minutes to talk about the 2 January signings who started. We've signed 3 players so far in the window, one of whom we've not seen as yet, but the other 2 we've now had a kind of second glimpse of, and that's certainly the longest we've seen of them. A couple of Danish internationals, Scott Wilson, as I keep thinking he's called. As we touched upon before, come on here, every time I hear his name I think someone says Scott Wilson. Scott Wilson and Chikwane, you know, early days. And Fernandez being the perfect example of why you shouldn't judge anybody after you know, seeing them once or twice. You shouldn't rush these judgments, but nonetheless, let's rush the judgment. What did you make of the two of them? What's your initial feel on them?
I like Jaguani. I think he looks a real powerhouse in midfield. He looks strong, he looks powerful. He looks like he's got a bit of a stride on him as well. When he gets going forward, I think he could really play that box-to-box role.
Yeah, he didn't get forward, did he? I don't know if that was tactical or just if that's not his game.
Oh, I don't know, I think he's got it in him. I think when you look at his, you know, attributes and his physique, you could imagine, you know, him striding forward into the box would be a bit of a powerful one to try and stop. So I like what I've seen of him so far. I'd like to see more of him going forward and making runs into the box and, you know, just trying to do a bit more of the offensive side. But so far he's impressing. Scott Wilson, I think, has found it more difficult. I don't know if he's just... I don't think he had played many games this season, if I'm not wrong, so he might be a bit behind in terms of match sharpness. He looks rusty. I hadn't actually seen any of them when we signed them. I was just kind of going off of what other people were saying online, and there was a lot of hype around his signing, and about I wasn't really sure what we were getting in terms of what type of winger he is. But he's definitely not, you know, he's not a speed merchant. He's not going to go past a man and, you know, whip a ball in, it looks like. He's not that type of winger. He's more technical. He needs players around him to play off of. He needs the 1-2s and the combination play in the opposition box. And I think because of decision making in the final thirds so poor, we're sort of struggling to create those kind of situations for him. So that's a bit of a concern. My concern around Scott Wilson is, I'm going to guess that we've invested a fair bit of money in this transfer. I know he's not our player yet, but I'd still imagine it's costing us a bit in terms of loan fee and wages and whatnot, and that we've kind of gambled a bit on this league challenge. And I think I said before, we came on, it's got a bit of the feel of the Aaron Ramsey for me at the minute. I don't want to judge him too early, but yeah, I just think he's maybe a wee bit behind what we kind of expect in terms of we wanted a player to come in and make an instant impact. But I think because of his lack of game time previous, he's maybe just finding it a bit more difficult.
That's interesting. So we're writing off Scott Wilson. We're getting rid of him, but we're keeping Chagawane. I mean, I don't know. I just think it's too early to tell. I think you're right. I think he is rusty. He hasn't played a lot of football this season. Players need games. You know, they do need games. And you see that with the players we've got. You know, you see that with Chermiti. You see that with even Magoma and certainly with Fernandez. You know, they need a run of games. They need to find their rhythm, get their march sharpness back up. And I think there's a bit of that with him. You know, he did really
well. That's always the difficulty when you're trying to salvage a season with signings in January. Because on one hand, you need them to hit the ground running, but on the other hand, you kind of know that that's, for the most part, kind of unlikely to happen in January. Most players that come in January don't tend to start with a bang and hit the ground running. Because
but, you know, our next game, next two games, Kilmarnock at home, you know, Kilmarnock are second bottom. They had a great, great result at the weekend against a ragged Aberdeen side who have no manager. You know, so, but they had a good game, a good result at the weekend. But Kilmarnock at home, Kilmarnock are second bottom of the league, and then Queen's Park in the Cup. You know, there's two games where, you know, that's two more chances to get, you know, a good, well, maybe not 90 minutes, but, you know, the bulk of the match under your belt, get to know the players, your teammates, understand, you know, where the runs are going to be, just get a bit of sharpness up. You know, then you're into Motherwell and Hearts, who should be two much harder games. But, you know, by that point, hopefully they've been at the club 4 weeks. Things could be, I don't know. And certainly, I agree with you. I didn't see anything today that made me, you know, he's no Brian Laudrup. You know, he's not even Peter Lovenkrantz based on what we've seen so far. But, you know, he played at a decent level at Bruges. And, you know, 40 caps for Denmark. You don't get that if you're a dummy. That's a decent level he's played at. So there's definitely something there, and let's hope we see it sometime soon. Before we go on to talk about Kilmarnock and the transfer window, Brian, realistically, as the squad stands as of 7 minutes past 10 on Sunday night, is it good enough to win the league?
No. I'll be honest, and I think I said this a few weeks ago when I was chatting to Frankie before we came on. As much as I enjoyed the run that we were on and the wins and and the feel-good factor that was around the place, I still didn't, and I still probably don't expect us to win this league, because fundamentally I just don't think we're good enough, and I don't think you can fix that in one January window. I really don't think you can take a squad from where we were, and as much as a good job that Danny Rowe's done and he's worked miracles, I just don't think you can take us from where we were to where we would need to be to win a league in one January window. And I think it's potentially dangerous to try and put all your eggs in that basket, to be honest. So that's kind of where I'm at, and I've enjoyed the wins and the run that we've been on. And I think even through that, though, we've all still said that performances haven't been great. As much as we were getting the results, I think we all kind of half thought that the performances were going to catch up on us at some point. And I think today was that day. And as you say, this shouldn't really have been, or on paper wasn't the trickiest of fixtures in terms of, if you look at what we've got coming up with, as you say, trips to Fir Park and Hearts to come to Ibrox. And this was the one that we've slipped up in. And that was concerning. So as it stands, I don't think we're good enough to win the league, and that's just me being honest about it. I think for me, Hearts are in the driving seat. But also when you look across the other side of the city, you know, they've not got the best squad, but what they do have is the title winning experience and the title winning manager for all, you know, you kind of look at it and, you know, bringing back Martin O'Neill, you can say what you want about that, but he has won leagues in the past. And that counts for something, regardless of whether it was, you know, 20 years ago or whatever. It's still, to me, that still counts for something. And the other thing I thought about today is, you know, we went away Easter Road and barely had a shot on target. If we look at our two closest rivals, I would place a fair bet that from now to the end of the season, they're not, in their remaining fixtures, they're not going to have that type of output is what we've had today.
Hearts go to Easter Road.
That's where I'm at on it.
Hearts go to Easter Road. No, not midweek. But I think their next league game is Easter Road after that. They don't. Actually, I think Hibs go to Tynecastle. Anyway, whatever one, they're playing each other 2 games time, which, you know, will be interesting, because obviously it's a derby. You will expect something from that. I tend to agree with you that I don't think that this current squad is good enough. And I tend to agree with you, the problem is goals. We do not score enough goals. We don't create enough chances. If we were creating chances and not scoring, you could say, well, if we can find a goal scorer, we've got a chance here. But we're neither creating chances nor taking them terribly well when we do get them. I don't think you can win a league unless you're scoring goals, and not just scoring goals from one place. I think you have to be getting goals from a few different places. Scott Wilson might bring that. You know, he might, you know, after a few games, you might just suddenly find here's a guy that can score goals. Chermiti obviously didn't do much today, but Chermiti has shown that he can score goals. Majowski, Gassama can only score goals if he's cutting in from the left hand side and culling in at the back. Well, he doesn't seem to be able to score goals unless it's in Europe. So there's just not enough goals in the team, and I tend to agree with you. I'm not sure that is something that can be easily remedied, because I'm not entirely sure whether the issue was in midfield or up front, because our midfielders don't contribute enough goals. You know, Asgard, I think, scored 5 goals this season, which, considering the amount of game time he's had, is a poor return. You know, Gassama actually hasn't scored that many goals either in the league. Chermetti hasn't scored that many goals in the league. So, yeah, it is a little frustrating. I'm not entirely sure where those goals are going to come from. We've got Kilmarnock on Wednesday night. Yep, Wednesday night. A very different match. We're at home. Kilmarnock are fighting for their lives. They'll come for a point. A point would do them. They'd be happy enough with a point. They've got new management and obviously a couple of people we know fairly well. Neil McCann and Billy Dodds, both of whom I wish great success, just not on Wednesday. They had a great result against Aberdeen at the weekend. Their first win in 17 matches or something, a long time since Kilmarnock last had a win. And that was a good win. But I do think Aberdeen are something of a basket case just now. I don't know. I have no idea why they've not appointed a manager. Maybe they're waiting to get the Celtic game out of the way so they can give them 7 goals to add to their goal difference as well with 3 points. But it's very strange that that's not happened. Kilmarnock will come for a point. They'll take 3 if we offer them. But Kilmarnock will come for a point. We'll have lots of the ball with players behind it, looking to hit us in the break. We've seen this before. That lack of creativity sometimes is the issue here when you can't break down a defence. What changes would you make, both tactically and to personnel, for your starting 11 on Wednesday night? You know, based on the players we have today. Obviously, if we sign, you know, a couple of people tomorrow, then who knows? But based on who we have today, what changes are you making?
I think I'd bring Tab back in for Sterling. Being at home, we'd be expected to dominate the ball. His delivery, I think, could be useful. And then the other change I'd probably make is I'd probably bring Mikey Moore in for Asgard. I'd like to see the kind of 3 behind the striker of Scott Wilkes and Moore in the 10, where I think is his best position. And then
yeah, I think so too.
Sama who left. I think,
and he looked most likely today. I mean, we didn't really talk about the goal,
yeah,
which he took well. You know, he was.
I thought
shoulder,
it was level. I'm just going to say it. I thought it was level.
You know, it's one of these ones where they draw the lines. His feet, as far as I could tell, his feet were his feet were behind, but it seemed to be his shoulder.
I don't see how you can say that with any confidence when it's that close.
Yeah,
we're probably veering off talking into the offside rule, and yes, it's a bit of a shambles. And I preferred that back in the day when it was always understood that when it's that tight, the attacking team gets the advantage. I know I'm going to say that because in this instance it benefits us, but I just think this need for absolute perfection in every decision, I think, is ruining the game somewhat. To me, when I looked at that, I thought he's level. If he's not absolutely onside, then he's level. But didn't go in our favour,
No,
they probably,
no, it didn't. They had to change the game.
Probably didn't deserve to win.
You know, because he's in decent form. He's another player who, came with the reputation of potential. You know, Spurs fans seemed to be quite fond of him, and he was only 17 when he came, and the belief that this is a boy that could potentially go on and play at a very high level. Didn't look at it first, but it has looked at recently. You know, I was surprised he didn't start. And I think the last few times I've seen Moore play, I've thought, yeah, I can see now what you've got. He does sometimes, like they all do, make the wrong decisions. He tries to beat too many people and things. But there's a directness to his play that I think we miss when he doesn't play. Asgard gets the ball and his first thought is to turn back. You know, for an attacking midfielder, it surprises me. You know, his first thought always seems to be to turn back. There was a point today in the game in the second half where he got the ball and it was crying out for him to just kind of surge forward from midfield. And he ended up, I think the ball went back to Butland from his pass. Yeah, it was just strange, you know, whereas Moore, to be fair to Moore, Moore's first thought is attack. Moore's first thought is get forward. And I think he has the ability most of the time to deliver that. So I would agree entirely. I think I would definitely start Moore as well. Tavernier's an interesting one. I know why you're saying that. You know, I'm not sure everybody would agree with you. I think Sterling actually is not bad going forward. You know, I think Sterling actually does give you something going forward. Whether Sterling can play two games in a week will be interesting. I'm assuming he won't play against Queen's Park, that they wouldn't play him against Queen's Park, that they'll change things around against Queen's Park. Then they might play Sterling again with the thought that, well, that's fine, you'll get a week off after that. So we'll see. It'll be an interesting game because have brought in, well, they brought in three forwards, but Curtis won't be playing. But they've brought in three forwards, a boy from Manchester United. I don't quite know how you go from Manchester United to Kilmarnock, but there you go. So I guess when he was 15, he was thought to be an awful lot better than he's actually turned out to be. But they brought in a boy from Manchester United. You know, he'll have something about him. You know, I'm not familiar with him, but I mean, you have to assume there's something there. So you know, they've now got a bit more options up front. So as I said, it'll be a harder game, but look, Kilmarnock at home, if you've any aspirations to win the league, you've got to win that game, and you've got to win it well. An early goal, I think, would be a good thing. Look, we've got 10 minutes left or so. So I thought we'd talk about the transfer window, both ins and outs, and what we might expect. So I think it closes tomorrow night, Monday night, I believe, is when it closes. As of just now, I mean, something may have happened in the last 48 minutes whilst we've been on air, but as of just now, it seems like Rothwell's on his way to Sheffield United. That's been widely reported that looks like a done deal. Frank has just said, there's nothing new of note, which is great. Thank you, Frankie. So my notes hopefully will be accurate. Rothwell looks like he's on his way to Sheffield United. Nasiala looks like he's going to Westerlo, which I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. It sounds like it might be a shopping centre, but I believe it's a team in Belgium. Danilo to NEC Nijmegen, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, in Holland. That looks likely. That's been getting talked about for maybe about a week or so now. I saw a photograph tonight which looked like he was there, but they might just be having a photograph, but it looked like he was actually there. So it looks like the three of them going out. I'm assuming that we're not selling Gassama, and I'm assuming that we're not selling, who was Alan Shinmei. So I'm assuming they're not being sold. Although, frankly, if someone really did offer us 10 million euros for Gassama, I think I would have taken it. I like Gassama, but I think 10 million, well, obviously 10 million for a guy who does his ACL next week. I think I would have taken 10 million for Gassama, to be honest with you, around the club. Nadiri, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, the boy from Hansa Rostock. When I saw we were linked to a guy from Hansa Rostock, I thought, it's great, a guy from the Bundesliga, that's cracking. I hadn't realised that Hansa Rostock had somehow found themselves in Division 3 in Germany. I don't really know how that happened. Anyway, him, I've seen, I mean, there's clearly has a link there. We clearly do want him. I don't know anything about the guy. You know, he sounds like something of a gamble. If you're looking at a guy from the third division of Germany, you know, I suppose they're hoping there's potential there. He is quite young. The last I heard was we might be signing him, but he wouldn't be joining us until the summer because they want to hang on to him to try and get promotion. But I don't know. I wouldn't claim to have any insight into that. The next one you'll be able to give us full information on is Cameron Archer, who I'm assuming must be related to you somewhere along the lines. Southampton, again, he was linked with us in the last kind of 48 hours. And then heard he wasn't. Nope, that's all falling through. Southampton have sold another forward to somebody else, so he won't be leaving. And then maybe we are back in with him. I don't know a lot about the lad. I had never heard of him until a couple of days ago, maybe yesterday. I'd never heard of him. A quick look at his Wikipedia tells me that he had kind of one good season with Middlesbrough, and beyond that, you know, he doesn't seem to have, you know, he hasn't done particularly well at Southampton in terms of the number of goals he's scored. But then I guess if he was doing really well at Southampton, then he wouldn't be looking to join us in the January window, which I'm assuming it's a loan, because I think they paid something like 15 million quid for him, which is just a reminder of just how mental things are in English football. So I'm assuming we're not trying to buy the guy for 15 million quid, that this is some kind of loan to just try and give the guy games. touch of the Skiv Olsen's then, because he won't have had many games, and they'll be hoping that that he'll get games with us. So I'm assuming that he's coming into the place Danilo as a third striker, and isn't coming in to start games unless there's something else there. And the other one that's been talked about in the press is Pirlo at Leeds. Every time I see it written down, I think it says Pirlo. Oh, Pirlo, I'll buy him because he sounds like Pirlo. I have a feeling he's nothing like Pirlo. So he's the one at Leeds that we've also kind of, I've heard as, I don't know if it's just talk. So I don't know if you have anything to add, if you have any insights into this. What is interesting is you look at the Derry, you look at Archer, you look at Pirlo, they're full forwards. So that does seem to be where we're shopping. We're trying to bring in goals to address the issue that you and I have astutely pointed out to anybody who perhaps hadn't noticed it themselves watching Rangers over the last 6 months, that we need more goals. We need creativity. We need goals. We need to be able to change games when they're not going our way like today. What do you think? Do you think there's going to be... I just can't help but feel we wouldn't let Curtis go and Danilo go if we weren't bringing at least one guy in.
Yeah, I think we'll get the boy from Hansa Rostock. I think that'll get done.
Do you know anything about him?
We get him?
Is he?
I know he's 6'5".
Apparently. Oh well, that fits the profile we're talking about.
So, yeah, I heard that.
6'5".
Exactly. Yeah, I think I heard somebody say he's 6'5". He's a big lad. So, but whenever I heard something like, I always think, remember of him, was it Cedric Eaton that we'd signed? He was a big guy, but not exactly.
I don't know if he was 6'5", to be fair, but aye, he was kind of a big tall guy. Aye. Well, he came in at a time when we had Defoe, Roof and Morelos on fire. So, I mean, I'd take Cedric Eaton just now. The good old days when Cedric Eaton was your fourth choice striker.
Yeah, so I know he's tall. I don't know much else about him. I think if you look at Cameron Archer, I was thinking about that today. Actually, I thought if he does sign, he better be good. Otherwise, I'm going to look even more ridiculous.
But at least you can walk about with Archer on the back of your jersey.
if he's absolutely terrible, then it's going to look even more ridiculous.
I don't know a lot about him. I had a look at his Wikipedia. He started off at Aston Villa. Didn't make it Aston Villa, but that's a high level to try and get the Aston Villa team. And then make it Aston Villa, has spent two or three seasons out on loan. Did a funny thing, Sheffield United bought him, and then Aston Villa bought him back. So I don't know if it was we get relegated.
A PSR diddle or something. That's like one of those PSR.
Well, I wonder if it was that, or if it was something to do with, because Sheffield United get relegated. Apparently they bought him when he was in the Premier League, although I don't remember them being in the Premier League, but I don't watch a huge amount of English football. And they bought him for a significant amount of money, and then Aston Villa got him back. So I can only assume that was like, right, we'll give you the second payment, down payment on him if we just give him back to you because we can't afford him anymore. So I don't know. But he's not 6'4". He's like 5'11" or something. I mean, decent height, but he hasn't. He hasn't landed the giant stuff, so I don't know. I don't know what kind of player he is. I don't know if he's a back to goal striker. I don't know if he's a fast guy. I don't know a lot about him.
They all seem to be penalty box strikers, which is fine in one sense, but also if we're not creating very many chances, then it kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier. It doesn't really matter who you've got up there, if whether it's the boy from Rostock, whether it's Cameron Archer, whoever. If we're not creating chances, then
that doesn't matter. Absolutely,
there's nothing for them to finish. So I think.
Are you expecting a signing?
Yeah, I'm expecting one. I think we'll get one, and I think if I had to place bets, I would say it would be the boy from Hansa Rostock. I think we'll get him over the line, and I don't know much else about him other than he's a tall guy, but. Yeah, so if nothing else, he'll help us defending corners.
Okay.
Yeah, but whether
keep
that's
clean sheets.
I think To be honest, I think we need more. I think we need more in the creativity.
Yeah, an attacking midfielder, a midfielder that brings goals, that creates chances is sorely missing. I don't. Majovski's looked poor, but I do wonder if there was somebody creating chances for him, would he take them away? I don't know. It's a couple of times I've seen like him and he thought, hell's bell, shoot. Say again?
I feel like I could say the same for Chermiti as well. I feel like he's in some
he's
way.
He's shot shy to me. I mean, there was one today. He had an opportunity really today. Well. He could have beat a couple of guys.
He tried to play. Yeah, he tried to play somebody through when the ball was in the air.
I don't know. I'm puzzled by him. You know, his hold up play is better. He had a quietest game today, but his hold up play is better.
He's got all the attributes. He's strong. He's reasonably quick for a boy his size. He's not.
He builds up speed. Doesn't accelerate quickly, but once he gets going, he does a bit of pace there. Yeah.
Decently quick. I just think every time I watch him, I think, see if he had like a striker coach, like I said this a little bit, like Jermaine Defoe. See if he had Jermaine Defoe coaching him on runs to make and stuff like that. I think that would bring his game on leaps and bounds. He just looks like a talent that's just really raw, that just needs, you know, an experienced striker to kind of take them under the wing and just be like, right, you know, this is what you need to do.
I mean, it's a good point. I mean, other than the coaching staff, it's not like he can look at one. I mean, he's not going to learn enough Majovski in his current form. Danilo, I don't know. Danilo is just one of these players. Injury just didn't happen. Yeah. You know, I think it's the right thing for both him and us that, you know, he goes and, you know, starts again somewhere else, because it's not going to happen. I think there's a player in Danilo. I just don't think he can't play up front of his own. I don't think he's that type of player. I think we just need to just agree, like, you know, what's time to go. So
he's
like you.
Scottish football, I think.
Do again.
He's not suited to Scottish football. I think Danilo is too physical for him. He's not one for the physical.
He's a technical player. Yeah, I think the Dutch league does probably suit him a bit better. Yeah, like you, I think we're bringing in one. I don't think we've allowed Curtis to leave and Danilo to leave unless we're fairly confident that one of them is coming in tomorrow. But I don't know. We'll see. I had a cracking rumour last week that Thomas Muller was joining. And I've never heard anybody else say that, so I guess that's not happening. But I was quite excited when I heard Thomas Muller might be joined. I mean, he's probably about 45 or something, so he's probably the manager. I thought, well, that's a cracking rumour, great. And then you think, well, the manager probably knows him, so maybe there is some truth in that. But I've not heard a whisper of it coach. Since. So I'm what was that?
Maybe he could get him in as a striker coach.
Yeah. Well, is he a striker? I think he's a midfielder. I always thought Thomas Muller was like a goal-scoring midfielder. He's just one of these guys who just scored a phenomenal amount of goals in midfield. But, I mean, I think he's a bit... He's certainly, at the latter end, he's more of an Aaron Ramsey type signing, I think, to be fair. I think there'd be more parallels there. Anyway, listen, Brian, I'm going to let you go on and finish your Sunday night. I really do appreciate you giving up your time again tonight, spending the last hour with me. I hope you have a pleasant week. I hope the Wednesday night goes our way, and I hope there's no banana skins against Queen's Park. Hopefully, let's hope lightning doesn't strike twice. That would be annoying. But let's not think along those lines. Let's just think positive thoughts. So thanks so much for coming on, Brian. Just to remind everybody that the pod is available on a variety of different platforms: Acast, iTunes, YouTube, Castbox, Stitcher, and of course Spotify. Whenever you get your podcast, please subscribe so you don't miss out on one. There will be a podcast on Friday, Craig and another to be announced. Hence, who Frankie can pick up on the last days of the podcast transfer window.
Deadline day signing.
Yeah, so it might be some guy from. Maybe some guy from a whole different podcast, you never know. But it probably won't be, it'll probably just be one of the guys you're used to seeing. But whoever it'll be, I'm sure they'll be good. So that's going to happen on Friday night, and they'll look back at the Kelly game and obviously ahead to Sunday's cup tie with Queen's Park. please, if you enjoy the podcast, if you like JersNet, just let everybody know. We would welcome more listeners. And I think that's pretty much me. So thank you and good night. And thanks for listening.